We're going money back mad this World Cup at Paddy Power. This week it's money back if Messi scores against Nigeria, money back if Neymar scores against Serbia, and money back if England beat Belgium. On all losing, goal scorer, what odds Paddy and correct score bets. Max free bet £10, T's and C's apply, 18 plus, begambleaware.org.
Hi there, welcome along to the Racing Post World Cup postcast. I'm Bruce Millington and I'm joined by Mark Langdon, Dan Childs and Paddy Power's Emmett O'Keefe to look ahead to the concluding batch of group matches. Some idiots said that VAR would ruin the World Cup. It absolutely hasn't. I don't think it's helped, but it certainly hasn't detracted from what has been an absolutely enthralling tournament. I can't believe we're only 10 days into it. Have you enjoyed it, Mark Langdon?
Yeah, Bruce, I think it's been a fantastic tournament. You know, we've had so many stories, you know, with Portugal, Cristiano Ronaldo's free kick, Toni Kroos's free kick. Most of the sort of smaller teams have tried to play as well. We've had a couple of dull games, but no nil-nils. And I just think it's been a fantastic tournament. One of the best World Cups I can remember, for sure.
Charles, are you in front, punting-wise?
I've not really been punting to a great degree. Tipping wise, I'm definitely in front. Yeah, I seem to be calling it right at the moment, but long way to go. Yeah.
Excellent. And how is it for you, Emmett, from a personal perspective? Are you enjoying it?
Very much so. Like Mark, you kind of going into the tournament, you're worried about kind of how the smaller teams will set up very negatively and leading to a lot of kind of poor enough matches. But it's been, especially teams like Peru and Morocco, have been kind of been a pleasant surprise.
They certainly have. Give us a quick blast of outright betting from Paddy Power as we enter this crucial four-day period.
So we've Spain 9-2 favourites, Brazil 5-1, Germany 13-2, Belgium 7-1, France 7-1, England 10-1, and Croatia 14s.
OK. Mark, what has happened that has surprised you most?
I suppose Germany's... Well, it's not demise, is it? Almost demise, what you should call it. I mean, I didn't fancy them to win the tournament, but I also thought that they would stroll through this group and then maybe have trouble later on. The fact that they're, you know, being troubled by Mexico and Sweden, doesn't really bode well for them sort of long term, really. So I think that's been the real big surprise. And their price hasn't moved that much because, you know, they're still in it and, Kroos has saved them. But I've been disappointed with their play, particularly defensively.
Charlie, are you surprised that Spain have dethroned Brazil as market favourites?
No, I mean, I fancied Spain. You know, they were my prediction at the outset. And you look at Brazil at the moment, although they've got their late flurry of goals against Costa Rica, if you look at where they were going into injury time in the Costa Rica game, and they were heading into sort of similar territory to the likes of Argentina and Germany as well. They were looking a little bit in a tough situation there, weren't they, in that group? So. No, I think Spain have been more convincing. I know they've only got the 4 points, but I thought they played really well in the Portugal game. Iran game, they did enough. Could have won by more goals. So and the route through, looking at the way the groups are panning out and the knockout stages, looks good for them as well. So
okay, Emmett, can you give us the latest on the Golden Boot, please?
Yes, we've Harry Kane 21-10, Cristiano Ronaldo 10-3, Lukaku 4-1. Costa 11-2, and then Hazard 20-1, Neymar 25-1.
And Emmett, if you were opening a fresh position on that book, who would you back? Because I've got a theory there's some value here because, and we'll talk about it later on, I don't think England are going to go that deep in the tournament, so I think he might just be a vulnerable fav.
I think maybe someone like Kylian Mbappe at 50-1. I think...
50s, whoa. That's yeah, interesting. Just,
There's still, we're betting to three places of fifth odds as well. And just if France go deep in the tournament, and remember as well, it's almost better probably to be knocked out in the semi-finals because that third place playoff tends to be a bit more open than the final.
Absolutely.
So I could see France at least making the semis and Mbappe getting to kind of three or four anyway.
And Emmett, we didn't get your views on the tournament beforehand. So who did you fancy before the World Cup and who do you fancy now?
I fancied Brazil before the World Cup. Now I definitely fancy Spain. I think Mark mentioned it last week that a lot of the teams in the tournament have a kind of a poor enough style of play but rely on individual brilliance, whereas Spain have a really good style of play and the individuals as well.
Okay, and is it 1-0 to the bookies so far, Emmett?
So far I would say yeah, there's been...
You got a bloody nose on Saturday night with that Toni Kroos goal, I think, didn't you? But
absolutely, yeah, and then the two England games really, because in the Tunisia game just with everyone's backing England throughout the game, and they score at the end, and then obviously the hammering of Panama where Kane scores a hat-trick that wasn't great either.
Excellent. Okay then, thank you very much, chaps. We will crack on with Monday's games. So groups A and B coming to a conclusion, and we will start with Saudi Arabia versus Egypt. There won't be too many people fixated on this that aren't from Saudi Arabia or Egypt, but is it a close betting event, Emmett?
It's yes. We've got Saudi Arabia 10-3, draw 5-2, and Egypt 8-11.
And we'll stick with you. Who's going to win?
I'd lean towards Egypt, but I've no real opinion at the prices. If forced to have a bet, it would be Mohamed Salah to score first at 3-1. He scores a very high percentage of Egypt's goals, and the increased penalty expectancy in the tournament is in his favour.
Okay, well, no one's forced to have a bet here because we all promote responsible gambling. Dan Charles, what do you think, Saudi v Egypt?
Egypt are pretty solid odds-on favourites here. Watch both their games. The game against Russia, a bit of a three-goal quick burst, weren't there, from the Russians. But I thought Egypt, did create a few chances. Had a go, looked better with Salah in the side, although Salah didn't look anywhere near his best. But Saudi Arabia, watched both their games. They look, a very, very poor side, probably worse than expected going into the tournament. So Egypt for me.
Mark? I agree maybe on the Salah first goal because, I mean, if he plays, there's been talk about him walking out on the Egyptian national team after this stuff about where they've based themselves in Chechnya and the way he's been used as some kind of political pawn, which is most unfortunate for him. He had nothing to do with any of the stuff that's gone on. But, I mean, if Egypt score, it's probably going to be Salah. It was over 70% of their goals in qualifying. He got the penalty. So, yeah, I mean, 3-1 for the best player on the pitch by an absolute mile looks okay to me.
Okay, the 3 p.m. game that most people are going to be interested in concerns Uruguay and Russia, who are battling out for top spot and presumably the chance to avoid Spain in the round of 16. It's quite a close betting event, this, Emmett.
Yeah, we've Uruguay at 7-4. Draws 2-1, and Russia are currently 9-5.
Mark, do you have a strong view here?
Reasonably strong. I mean, I'd be with Uruguay, draw no bet. I think the draw is a runner, given that they're both already through, and how much energy do you actually want to, really sort of dish out, I suppose. But, a week ago, we would have been all over Uruguay. They were odds on to win the group, and, what has really changed so far? Russia have taken just every chance that they've created, it feels like. But Uruguay, to use sort of the old Cheltenham Festival panel, they've done nothing wrong so far. I mean, they've won their game with a minimum of fuss. They haven't overly impressed, but they're a team that I think are a bit like Atletico Madrid. You're never going to get them sort of putting 4, 5, 6 goals on somebody. They've just got a very good defence. No Jimenez today, but they've got a very good defence, some quality forwards. And I think they're a better team than Russia. I know home advantage plays a part, but like I say, a week ago we'd have happily backed Uruguay here, wouldn't we, off choice?
Absolutely, Dan.
No, I'm not of that view. I was actually, when the prices come out originally, I watched the Uruguay Saudi Arabia game, and straight after that, I was looking at back Russia. Russia's price was 12-5 at the time, and they've come in quite a lot. Now it's a very even betting heat, which I think's about right. Uruguay against Egypt, I kind of gave them a benefit of the doubt. They'd sort of plugged away and scored late, had a better chances. I watched this game against Saudi Arabia, and they were even worse. That was the worst game of the tournament for me. I thought it was a dreadful game, terrible defended by Saudi Arabia for the Uruguay goal. It created very little else, and I'm starting to question. I thought Uruguay were dark horses at the start. I'm not so sure now. I'm looking at them, and I just think there's a lack of fluency about the side. Everyone said their midfield, including myself, will be better and there'll be more creativity. Doesn't look the case. Russia have impressed, but they only need a draw to win the group. So I'm going to go look at the draw being the big runner and go for the draw.
And Emmett.
I tend to agree with Dan. I backed Uruguay before the tournament, but haven't been impressed at all with them. They're playing kind of a very limited 4-4-2, sitting deep, with very little creativity in the wide positions. Having said that, though, you wouldn't expect there to be many goals in this game. Uruguay are clearly excellent defensively, and in a low-scoring game where the draw suits Russia, I think that's probably the best option.
Okay, Group B. These matches conclude at 7 o'clock on Monday, and we'll start with Iran versus Portugal. Emmett, give us a blast of betting.
We've Iran are 9-2, the draw is 13-5, and Portugal 8-13.
Dan, I am looking here at the World Cup coming alive with a big shock. I think Iran are going to do something special here. Do you?
No. I think Portugal are just the sort of team that have done it quite consistently for a while now. They don't look easy on the eye, a little bit like Uruguay, as we were talking about, but they have got Ronaldo at the end of it, and he's in form, doing the business. They have got the cutting edge that Iran haven't got. It might be another game like Portugal-Morocco that looks quite an even game, but I just think Portugal's what they've got in the final third will make a difference. And I think Portugal probably going into the tournament would have been even shorter to win this game. They're kind of, because of the way they're playing, they've drifted out a bit. But 8-13 is all right for me, Portugal.
8-13 is all right for Dan. Is it all right for you, Emmett?
I'm not so sure. I think Portugal are very fortunate to have the 4 points that they do. Morocco could easily have taken at least the draw off them. And even the Spain game, Spain had much the better of that game. It just was individual brilliance from Ronaldo. So I'd take a chance on Iran at the price, or possibly throw a few pounds on the Iran-Portugal double result, just because if Iran are pushing for a goal at the end, if Portugal equalise and Iran are pushing for a goal at the end, they'll be very vulnerable on the counter-attack.
That would be a decent price. Mark, yeah. Portugal can't keep being this lucky. They scabbed their way to European Championship finals. They've been unimpressive so far here. Surely their luck's got run out soon, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure Iran are good enough to take advantage. That would be my sort of question mark. It's not so much a pro-Portugal sort of point of view in thinking that they'll get through. This one, I was looking here for the best bet to be the second half to be the highest scoring. I can see it developing very much into the way that Iran v Spain did, where Iran tried to turn it into a 15-20 minute match, you know, so they defend for an hour, 70 minutes, and then look to nick the game. And I think Portugal, knowing that a draw is okay for them, won't be in any hurry either themselves. It eventually has to open up, and maybe that's where Portugal will nick it. So maybe draw half time, Portugal full time's another way, but I quite like it, odds against the second half to be the highest scoring.
Okay, Spain, Morocco. Spain 100-30 on 7-2 the draw, 10-1 Morocco. Mark Lennon, can we see a shock here?
No, I don't think so. I like the way over 2.5 goals in this game. I mean, I think it's very crucial that you finish top of the group, and it could come down to goal difference. So I don't expect Spain to ease off if they get in front. I've been impressed with Morocco. Maybe they can get the goal they deserve as well. High scoring game for me, Bruce.
Who do you like, Dan?
Yeah, I'm on a similar track. I think there'll be goals, and I think there'll be action quite early on in the game. I just think Spain have got the better players in the attacking third where it matters. So I think Spain will get in front by the break and go on to win. Spain double result.
And Emmett O'Keefe, what do you think will happen here?
Fancy Spain as well, but I'm going to take a chance on Mehdi Benatia to score any time at 20-1 for Morocco. He's had one of the highest expected goals of any defenders in the tournament. I've backed him in both matches, and he's missed chances in both games. And I think he's warranted a punt to the prices.
Love that one. OK, back with Tuesday in just a mo.
We're going money back mad this World Cup at Paddy Power. This week it's money back if Messi scores against Nigeria, money back if Neymar scores against Serbia, and money back if England beat Belgium. On all losing, goal scorer, what odds Paddy and correct score bets. Max free bet £10, T's and C's apply, agentplusbegambleaware.org.
Hi there, Bruce Millington, Dan Childs, Mark Langdon and Paddy Power's Emmett O'Keefe. Looking ahead to the four games that are taking place on Tuesday as groups C and D come to the boil. We'll start with Australia versus Peru. Australia are 9-5. It's 11-8 Peru. It's 23-10 the draw. Dan Childs, Peru just about favs, even though they are staring at bottom spot if they don't win this. Is that justified?
No, it's not. Australia have played quite well in their games. It's a must-win game for them. I fancy them to win it, actually. They played well in both their two games so far. A bit unlucky to lose to France. They well deserved their draw against Denmark. Peru have played well in both games but lost both. They look desperately disappointed after being knocked out. So Australia for me.
Not Australia for you, though, I don't believe.
No, I like Peru here. I mean, the idea that this is a dead rubber just doesn't wash. There's 40,000 Peruvians in Russia. They're absolutely desperate to finish on a high. Australia, outside of the penalties, and I think both of them were hugely, well, one of them was hugely debatable. They haven't actually created anything to win their two penalties. They were just set balls in and hand balls, weren't they? I think Peru are better than Australia. I think they're motivated and I think they'll win.
How do they take 40,000, we take 2,500?
Well, they haven't been since 82, have they, to a World Cup. And I think Peru as a country is doing quite well at the moment. Yeah, it was seen as quite a symbol of sort of the country's wealth and the way that it's growing, that so many have been able to go. I mean, there was even fighting in supermarkets over Panini stickers, and one of the players wasn't in the Panini sticker album when he bought it.
He thought he'd been dropped, didn't he?
Rang the coach up and like wanting to know why he'd been dropped from the squad.
That's bad, isn't it?
No, it's not the real one.
They talk about, is it James Collins getting binned off by email, or getting dropped by Panini? A big disaster.
20 players in there anyway.
Emmett, what do you think will happen when Australia meet Peru?
I'd lean Peru. I think they've been generally excellent, and probably their results don't reflect their performances. But in this game, I'd go for over 2.5 goals at 11-10. Australia have to go for it, and they're definitely vulnerable defensively, and Peru are too. And I can see this being a low-scoring game, really.
Okay. What you often find with the final round of matches is that a lot of the games are very different on the day to what they were before the tournament started. A good example of that is Denmark versus France. France are odds against with Paddy Power at 6-5. It's 8-5 the draw, which would suit both teams. So the conspiracy theorists are lumping on that. And it's Burlington Bertie, 100-30 there. A little tribute to John McCruick. The Danes. Emmett, will it be a draw?
Possibly. I definitely lean towards France, the prices, but just there's a bit of uncertainty about how both teams will approach this game. So the way I bet it would be Christian Eriksen to score first, and if at anything 8-1 or over, he scores so many of Denmark's goals, takes the penalties, takes the free kicks, and I think he's definitely pretty a couple of points too big.
Okay, Mark, what's your view on this one?
Yeah, I mean, I'll take France. I mean, I wouldn't bet it maximum bet, because I think you have got to factor in that there's less motivation for France. But that is influencing the prices. And you have a look at the likely French lineup, and it's got, Ousmane Dembele and Tommy Lamar on the wings with Griezmann behind Giroud. I just think that will be too good for a Denmark team that's been outplayed by Peru, and then probably for against Australia, they didn't create that much outside of a brilliant Eriksen goal. Odds against France just looks too big to me.
Dan?
Yeah, I'd be pretty strong about France, actually. I think the fact they're already through, they might be able to play with a little bit more freedom and open up, which they haven't done so far. And this angle that they're somehow, whether they're going to be motivated to win the group or not, I mean, there's a Croatia, you could argue, are looking the stronger team in the other group anyway. So you want to avoid Croatia. And if you win the group, there's a good chance you could get either Iceland or Nigeria in the next stage. So, I think there's motivation for them really to win the group. And I think they're too good for Denmark. And if they make changes, as Mark's mentioned, they've got a lot of depth in the squad. So Denmark have not impressed me, France.
So you said you're not really betting that heavily during the World Cup, Mark, Dan, but
yeah,
would you be opening the wallet for that one?
Out of the final round, that was one of the strongest bets, I would say, for the last round of games.
Okay, let's look at the Group D deciders, starting with Nigeria against Argentina. 4-9 Argentina, who obviously were given that lifeline recently. 11-2 Nigeria, 16-5 the draw. Mark Langdon, what happens here?
I think it's a game full of goals. Over 2.5 is the way I was looking. I mean, Argentina have shortened right up in the last sort of day or two, really. They opened up, I think, at a backable price. I can't touch them at 4-9, given the chaos in the ranks. But this is probably a good opportunity for them against a Nigeria team that I think will give them space. I don't think Messi will have 3 quiet games in a row. Can't remember the last time.
Was he that quiet in the opener?
He wasn't influential, maybe. He didn't influence the result.
No.
Let's put it that way. But I think he'll get the space here. But you have a look at Musa's pace against Otamendi and co at the back for Argentina. I mean, that would scare me if I'm backing a 4-9 shot. They met in a recent friendly. It finished 4-2 to Nigeria. That was without Messi. I just see goals, and particularly if Argentina need to rack it up for the goal difference.
So you're just smashing at the over 2.5.
Yeah, I think it's quite a good bet.
Emmett, strong view here?
Fairly strong, yeah. Like, just very similar to Mark, really. I can't have Argentina at those prices with how bad they've been. They gave up good chances to Iceland and completely fell apart against Croatia. Nigeria, although they were poor against Croatia, they do appear to be more united than in previous years. I know John Obi Mikel talked about how, for the first time that he's been involved with Nigeria, that there were no issues with any of the bonuses. And I expect them to have good chances in the counter-attack here. I'd back them double chance and straight win as well.
Okay, and Dan?
I strongly fancy Argentina to win, but as Mark said, when I looked at the prices, you know, I thought, well, God, are they really that short? You know, so I looked for another angle on it, and there is a, with that Argentina defence being so dodgy, I thought Argentina to win and both teams to score looked a bet at 9-4. Nigeria, I just thought for three halves of football, they've been absolutely dreadful. I mean, they were terrible against Croatia. Didn't have a shot at all on goal against Iceland in the first half. Picked a couple of goals up in the end, but I'm not even sure they deserve to win that game. Argentina have got to show something now, I think, as you know, been given a reprieve, really, with the results, the way they've fallen. I think they'll win, but I think they'll concede.
OK, and the other game in Group D is Iceland versus Croatia, 11-10 Croatia, 23-10 Iceland, 23-10 the draw. Emmett, lead on. What happens here?
Croatia may play a reserve side, but even if they do, the likes of Kovacic, Kalinic, etc., will still be fairly strong. I hard to be that confident in Iceland. Just I thought they kind of the energy really drained out of them in the last half an hour against Nigeria, and they had very little ideas. If I had to bet anything in this game, it would be the Iceland Croatia double result, just because Iceland need to go for it, and they failed in the second half in both of their first two matches.
Okay. Emmett got all gravelly there. He's got quite a scary voice, Emmett.
I think he's been cheering on too many winners, hasn't
absolutely
he? I wouldn't like to owe Emmett
money. If he rang me up and told me I owed him, I'd be a little bit concerned. Mark, Iceland, Croatia.
Yeah, I thought that actually, I mean, I'm a big Croatia fan, but I thought that given that they don't need anything from this game, they're almost certainly going to finish top. I thought that Iceland would actually be shorter. I thought the motivation for them needing to potentially win the game would be greater. And I'm going to give Iceland a chance. They did finish above Croatia in qualifying. And I think that the game against Nigeria was played in really hot temperatures that didn't suit them. This is an evening kickoff that maybe is easier for them to play their hard-running style. I'm just not sure Croatia will be that bothered.
Okay, and Dan?
I totally agree with that. I think, you know, Iceland, it is their last chance. I mean, even if they win the game, they're not certain to go through. But it's for a small nation, it's still a big opportunity for them, but probably the biggest game, you could argue, you know, ever for the nation. And Croatia, they're likely to be a virtual reserve side. I'd also throw in that Croatia-Argentina game was very bad-tempered. I mean, how much are Croatia going to play to try and save Argentina? I'd throw that out there as well. I just think Iceland, the prices, I agree with, I expected them to be shorter. I think they're overpriced.
Okay, excellent. Right then, on Wednesday, we see the conclusion of Groups E and F. The Group F matches will be played first at 3 o'clock. And so let's look at South Korea versus Germany. Germany obviously got that incredible lifeline with that great goal by Toni Kroos. It's possible that that's the moment that their World Cup really ignites and now they kick on. Or they might continue to show the same vulnerabilities they did so far. But they're 1-7 to beat South Korea, 16-1 South Korea, 13-2 the draw. Mark Langdon, what's your prediction here? And what's the best bet?
Yeah, I mean, I like Germany on the handicaps, really. I think sort of Asians -1.75. You could even back a maybe -2 on the more traditional handicaps. They need to win by at least two goals to guarantee qualification. They might not need to do that, but I think they'll play to do it. Korea themselves have to win and win well, and I think that just leaves them in a world of pain having to chase the game against a Germany team that would have been just massively lifted by what happened. And I think the team that he's got towards the end of his game now against Sweden is more likely to be the team he goes with forward. It looks a lot better with Werner, Gomez, Royce, players like that in the side. I think Germany will win and win easily.
Dan Charles?
I think they'll win. I think they'll win by just about enough goals to get through. I've got Germany 2-0, 11-2. South Korea, the first game, I thought they were really poor against Sweden. Against Mexico, I thought they played quite a bit better, actually. Sun got in the game more. They looked more organised, even though they conceded two goals. The all-round, the poor performance was a lot better. Germany, you have to question. I know they've scraped the win in the end against Sweden, but the two performances I've not been that impressed with, so I can't be... At the prices, I think they're too short, actually, to win the game, but I'd say Germany 2-0, correct score.
And Emmett?
I tend to agree with Dan. I think Germany are very short, and just with the problems, but I still expect them to win. With the issues they have at centre-half, obviously Boateng will be suspended. There's an injury question over Hummels. Sebastian Rudy, really one of their only holding midfielders in the squad, went off with an injury. So based on that angle, I like Germany to win if both teams to score.
Okay, Mexico versus Sweden. Mexico 11-8. It's 21-10 Sweden and it's 21-10 the draw. Emmett O'Keefe, what will happen here?
Yeah, Mexico clearly, Brazil are the likely winners of the group Mexico are going to play. So Mexico will obviously want to avoid defeat in order to avoid Brazil. I've no strong feeling at the prices, but I do think Mexico are very capable of counter-attacking on Sweden if they push forward, as we saw in the Germany game. The bet I like here would be Granqvist, the Swedish centre half, to score first at 20-1. Again, simple enough logic. He's on the penalties, and it's hard to believe we've seen more penalties in this tournament so far than we saw in the whole of the tournament in Brazil 4 years ago. So, and I think 20-1 is too big.
Okay, Dan Childs.
I'm going to go with Mexico. I know they don't need to win the game, but I just think the way the game's set up, with Sweden having to win the game and maybe even having to win by two goals, it's just set up for Mexico. Mexico's strength is counter-attacking teams. We've seen how good they are over the two games. So for that reason, I think they're a better side than Sweden as well. I think the 11-8 is reasonable for Mexico.
And Mark?
Yeah, I agree with Dan. I think the quality they've got up front with Vela, Hernandez and Lozano just is quite a bit better than what Sweden have got, and not sure how they'll recover from conceding that goal. You know, it was such a hammer blow that Crows winner the other night. I don't see him reacting very well to it.
Okay, another team that conceded a hammer blow of a late goal over the weekend was Serbia, who looked absolutely home and hosed in Group E, but conceded an extraordinary late goal against Switzerland, even, where their defender tried to play someone offside, even though that particular player was deep in his own half. It was absolutely insane by Tosic. He should hang his head in shame. Yes, I'm talking through my pocket. Anyway, Serbia, can you keep the dream alive by beating Brazil? The bookmakers say no, it's 4-9 Brazil, it's 11-2 Serbia, it's 16-5 the draw. Dan Charles, do you think some heavy hitters will look at 4-9 Brazil and think, actually, that's not a bad shout?
Maybe they will, but I think it's too short, actually. I'm on the other side of this. I know Serbia are going to be desperately disappointed, but you've got a few days for it to sink in, and you've still got a chance to win a game of football and go to the next stage. I think this on paper is Brazil's toughest game of the group. They've had two games before, drawn with Switzerland, were minutes away from drawing against Costa Rica. So I don't look at that and think that's a... Also, they could, to get to the next round, a draw suits Brazil. They can draw the game and go for anyway. So I can't have them at that price. Serbia, I mean, you talked about the defending, but the refereeing decision as well.
That was ridiculous, wasn't it? Mitrovic, that's outrageous.
And if they scored a penalty, they're not going to be defending, you know, so high up to try and win the game. They felt they had to win the game. So, you know, that was a huge, huge moment. Would have seen them through.
Do you think that referee should have taken a good look at himself in the mirror? Because if he did, have you seen how much he looks like you, that German? Unbelievable, honestly.
Not my German twin brother.
But, have a look, honestly.
But no, I just think that there is a big doubt over whether Serbia are going to be so disappointed that they can't perform properly. But at the prices, I'll take a chance and say 8-5, Serbia will draw a double chance.
It's interesting game because it's virtually a last 32 match for Serbia. You know, you win and you go through. I think that they'll look to keep it tight early on and then just turn it into a knockout game late on. I think they're good enough to keep Brazil out for 45 minutes. I don't think they will if they have to then push forward and leave the spaces. So I'm going to go draw half-time, Brazil full-time. I thought Brazil played really well in the last half an hour against Costa Rica.
Rainbow flicks and all sorts.
And if you give space to Neymar, Coutinho, Gabriel Jesus, Firmino, players like that, generally they'll kill you.
Mark, where do you have Brazil exiting this tournament?
The final.
Final.
I think they are finalists, but they've got it looks like they have a hard path too there, but I think they are still finalists.
No easy games. Emmett, Serbia v Brazil, sense of shock?
Maybe. Like yourself, I've been on Serbia and to qualify from the group.
That was horrible, wasn't it? Yeah, eh?
They made such a good start to the game as well. At the first 20 minutes they looked like they're gonna blow them away. However, Brazil have been pretty disjointed as well. I'll be interested to see what the Brazil team's like. You could see Firmino coming in, maybe Douglas Costa, maybe Fernandinho. So Brazil have very good options, really, and could easily see them improving. It's a strange situation for Brazil to be in, where they just need a draw. They potentially just need a draw to avoid the team that beat them 8-1 in the last World Cup. So with that being said, I'd lean Serbia double chance like that, because I'd question Brazil's motivation, and I I think they haven't been that impressive so far.
Okay, and it's Switzerland 4-6, 9-2 Costa Rica, 9-4 the draw. Mark, caveat alert.
Yeah, absolutely, because Xhaka and Shaqiri, as we speak, we don't know if they're going to be suspended for the game after their...
When are we due to find that out?
I don't think FIFA have said when. It's a real difficult situation, I think, for FIFA. I mean, it goes way beyond sport, this kind of symbol and what it means, and whether you're offended depends on sort of, you know, what your beliefs are. You know,
so this is Xhaka and Shaqiri, both scored, obviously, and both made a
Kosovan,
sort of...
They're Kosovan, that, and they can...
Origin.
Of origin. They made the eagle sign, which is for Albania.
Is it an eagle?
Yeah.
It's like more of a sort of fluffy type of
bird. Yeah, it's an eagle for the Albanian flag.
Right. So they basically, there's a potential for them to be suspended for making a political statement.
Yeah, absolutely.
It?
I mean, and they are, you know, two of their... Well, they scored the goals.
Doubled up because he's had the Kosovan flag stitched into his boots as well. So he's got two issues there.
Yeah. I think if they're both out, I would back no goal scorer because that suits Switzerland.
Okay, so let's do a tip on both out and let's do a tip on both in.
Okay, if they're both out, no goal scorer. Could be the first 0-0 of the tournament, although obviously you are speaking before the final round of matches, but we haven't had one as we speak. If they're available, I think someone like Shaqiri could win the game 1-0 Switzerland.
Dan Charles, if they're both out?
Both out, 1-0 Switzerland. I'd still take them to nick the game just about. The Costa Rica would be so deflated at this stage. And if they're both in, just Switzerland, straight win.
Okay. And what are your two tips based on in or out, Emmett?
Either way, I think Ricardo Rodriguez we're looking at for first goal scorer. Again, he's on the penalties and he pushes so far forward, even from fullback for Switzerland. He's on the free kicks as well. And then, like the lads, expect it to be a very low scoring game, potentially with the Shaqiri and Xhaka out. And so I like the draw at 9-4.
Okay, lads, let's look at Thursday's games next.
We're going money back mad this World Cup at Paddy Power. This week it's money back if Messi scores against Nigeria, money back if Neymar scores against Serbia, and money back if England beat Belgium. On all losing, goal scorer, what odds Paddy and correct score bets. Max free bet £10, T's and C's apply, 18 plus begambleaware.org.
Welcome back, Bruce Millington, Mark Langdon, Dan Childs and Paddy Power's Emmett O'Keefe, looking ahead to the concluding games in Groups G and H. The Group H games take place first at 3 p.m. on Thursday, so we'll do those first and we'll start with Japan versus Poland. Japan 7-5, Poland 2-1, 15-8 the draw. Dan Charles, Poland have been probably the worst team in the tournament so far. Could you possibly consider backing them at 2-1 on that basis?
Yes, I'm going to go
elaborate.
I just think you've not got. Sometimes you can't ditch all of your pre-tournament thoughts, and I know it's all gone wrong for them, but there are still some good players in their team, and I just think that, you know, they've got quite a lot of fans out there, and this is a chance for them just to sign off with a win against a team that I still think Japan are an ordinary side. They had, you know, everything went their way against Colombia. James not playing, the early sending off, hot conditions. So 10-man Colombia, you know, had such a hard task. They got the 2-2 draw against Senegal. Played better, I thought, in that game. Japan coming back twice, but I'm still not in love with Japan, and I think Poland have got the better players just about, and for that reason, they're their value.
God, blimey, if they're better players, they're hiding their ability well, Emmett. I cannot have Poland at all. What's your view?
I totally agree. I was impressed with Japan against Senegal as well. I thought they really outplayed them in the second half. And I just, Poland have shown nothing so far. The style of football is terrible. And I can see just Japan owning the ball and doing enough to get probably a narrow victory.
Okay. Just about a narrow victory there. Mark, you've got the deciding vote. First of all, I just say what a shame that it looks like it's not going to be Senegal and Colombia going through, doesn't it? Unless Poland can prove Dan right.
I mean, I'd cheer on Poland because I want Senegal to qualify. We'll get on to why I think that's not going to happen later on. But I think the draw here, I mean, it suits Japan well enough. And I mean, I just wonder about Poland's team spirit. I mean, the substitutions in that game against Colombia were utterly bizarre. There were sort of, you know, big-name players like Cuba and Milik left on the bench for the entire 90 minutes, which suggests to me that there's something's going on in the camp. He made a lot of changes as well, moved the formation around. He brought on Glick even though he wasn't fit. None of it seems to make sense. Lewandowski's isolated, getting absolutely no service. And I'm not mad about Japan, but I think that they'll just, you know, Poland can save face with a point and Japan are happy with a draw as well.
Okay, and the other game in this group, called Senegal versus Colombia. It's Paddy Power go 4-5 Colombia, 7-2 Senegal, 12-5 the draw. Mark, what's going to happen here?
Yeah, I think Colombia will win. I mean, that front four of James, Quintero, Cuadrado behind Falcao is exceptional when it goes right. You know, they've got good centre halves as well. Mina plays for Barcelona, always on Barcelona's books. Sanchez plays for Tottenham. And I think they'll just have too much quality for a Senegal team that I felt struggled with Japan's technical ability in the second half of that game. And Colombia have got technical ability, you know, far superior to Japan. Senegal are unlucky the way that it's all worked out, because I think that them and Colombia deserve to go through. But if it's to be one, I think it's the South Americans.
Okay, Dan, what's your view here?
Colombia have replaced Uruguay as my South American dark horse, I think, having watched the games. I mean, you couldn't really judge them on the first game. I mean, it was just when you go down to, in those conditions, the 10 men and a goal down so early on, you can't really go by it. And you judge them on the second game for that reason, and they were excellent against Poland. I mean, although Poland were poor, Colombia's football and the tempo of it and the quality of some of the goals, I thought was fantastic. I've said before, I think they look stronger, arguably this time, than 4 years ago. Now you've got Falcao in the squad as well. He took his goal really well. I think they could do some damage later in the tournament. I think they'll get out of the group. Senegal didn't do as well in his second game, so Colombia for me.
And who for Emmett?
Clean sweep here. I agree with the lads. I was very impressed with Colombia yesterday. Especially impressed with Quintero on midfield. I hadn't seen much of him coming into the tournament, but he's been outstanding. James looked back to his best. Cuadrado looked like the 2014 Cuadrado, who kind of broke out in that tournament. And Falcao had a lovely finish as well. So I think they're set at Colombia in a very good place at the moment, and I fancy them at 4-5.
One thing I love in the World Cup is listening to the local commentators commentating, and the Colombian guy obviously didn't let us down. You should definitely Google the Colombian commentator for the goals. It was absolutely brilliant.
Their football was some of the best we've seen in the tournament, and it was being described by John Champion and Ali McCoist to have been the best combination of the tournament. It was just like the perfect Sunday night viewing.
It was good, wasn't it? Yeah, yeah. McCoist, I mean, he is the man, isn't he? He's absolutely brilliant.
He did a gag about. He was doing loads of culture references. It was fantastic. Yeah, him and Champion is. It's a bit like Sheringham and Shearer. They just seem to know what each other's going to do and say.
Very good indeed. Okay, then. So on to Group G then. So there's all this conjecture at the start of the week. Who will they play in the quarters? I think England probably going to need to focus on who they're going to play in the round of 16 more, because there could be a big difference in their opponents. And I think both teams are probably going to look at who they would rather play in the round of 16 without worrying too much about the quarterfinals. So with that in mind, let's kick off. We'll get this one out of the way first. Panama versus Tunisia. Paddy Power go 8-11 Tunisia, 10-3 Panama, 5-2 the draw. I've got to tell you, lads, that just as England were putting their fourth or their fifth goal away, I got on and managed to back Tunisia at odds against. So that's all good. I've got the value, Mark. Will I collect?
Possibly. I think it might be a little bit more nervy than what you were hoping for, though. I was looking at both teams to score in this game. You have a look at Tunisia's expected goals against. It was just over 3 against England, and against Belgium, excluding the penalty, it was over 5. I mean, those are scenes that are just basically unheard of, you know, to expect a goal of more than 5 in a game.
What was the XG for England-Panama?
It was, without excluding the penalties, it was 1.5. They didn't create that much, England. Just in terms of the Tunisia-Panama game, like Tunisia defensively, I've got concerns about them, even more so with the right-back Bron and the centre-half both went off injured, as did the goalkeeper against England. But obviously Panama are possibly the worst team in the competition. I mean, some of their decision-making was just horrendous against England. So, wouldn't be surprised if they scored, but Tunisia should win the game. But I'm going both teams to score because I'm not sure about that Tunisian defence.
Emmett, what's your view on this one?
No strong fancy here. I'd lean towards Tunisia at the prices, but the angle I would look at for this game is, just as it becomes closer to the match, look at Panama and the card markets. Just before the tournament, I was doing some research on this, and they came up as one of the dirtiest teams in the tournament, and that's been the case so far as well. I think they were pretty physical against Belgium, and I could, if you can get evens on over 1.5 cards, I think that's probably a bet.
That sounds good, but I've been doing all sorts of overs on the cards, and I've just been getting sickened by these tolerant refs, Emmett. What's going on? I mean, there's some blatant stuff going on that he's just getting away with. I thought the fella doing the Colombia-Poland game last night, He was just, has he forgotten how to write or lost his pencil? It's done my head in.
I mean, some of the tackling on the Brazil, I know that Neymar died, but some of the tackling was, like, was X-rated, and it was just, but play on.
It's incredible, absolutely amazing, but I do absolutely get where you're coming from, because Panama are dishing it out, aren't they? Dan, what do you think will happen when Panama
I think you'll be able to collect here. I think it's odds against is a great price. I'd still back them at a bit of odds on Tunisia. I just think you've got to try and find a form line here, because they've been playing against two big teams. And before the tournament, they played against Costa Rica, quite a bit better Central American side than Panama are, and they beat 1-0, and from what I read, they dominated the game as well. The goal was kind of coming. So I know it's only a friendly game for a form line, but I still think Tunisia got Wabi Kazri. They've got a few players that can score goals better. They did look organised defensively against England as well. He didn't think the England goal was coming, actually, towards the end of that game. It was a hard second half. Panama, if England had turned up second half, it could have been 8-9. England just turned it in the second half. So, no, Tunisia for me.
OK, finally then, England versus Belgium, 7 o'clock on Thursday night, the game that will decide who wins Group G. And England are 9-5 with Paddy Power. It's 17-10 Belgium, and it's 2-1 the draw. Belgium just about favourites. Mark, is that right, do you think?
I mean, it's really difficult until we... Because Gareth Southgate was defensive when he was asked about his team selection for the game. Roberto Martinez has said he'll make changes. I'm finding it really difficult to call until we see the lineups and who finishes top in that group. I mean, if Japan finished top in that group, I mean, you'd be absolutely bonkers to say play against Colombia and then go in that difficult half of the draw. I think Belgium maybe have got that sussed a little bit more than England. I think Southgate is looking at this sort of winning momentum, the hopes of a nation, sort of, everyone's behind him. If they lose to Belgium, I just think that they might just start putting some doubts in people's minds, and I'm not sure he wants that. But I just thought both teams would score. I mean, it's just about odds on, but I mean, I can only see goals in this game. England have conceded to both Panama and Tunisia, which doesn't bode well when we go right deeper into the competition. And Belgium, if they make any kind of changes, I don't think they've got the depth defensively to cope with it. I think they have going forward, Batshuayi, Thorgan Hazard, these are good players. Dembele in midfield. At the back, they're a little bit light if he rests his big hitters.
And Mark, England have tumbled in from kind of 16s to 10s. Is that valid, or is it... I personally think that we find every single tournament we go in there with our hopes raised far too high. This time we didn't, but then we've won two games against, absolute minnows. One just about, the other was one of the weirdest football matches I've ever seen. I just think the overreaction has been absurd.
It has. I mean, it all depends, really, I think, which half of the draw they end up in. So if they end up in the second half of the draw, if it works out how people are expecting, then it's probably not... I think it probably is the right price. If they end up in with France, Brazil, Germany, then I think it's, could even be Colombia as well. I think it becomes, you wouldn't want to be on the 10s, that's for sure.
Because we got the easy half in the Euros as well, didn't we? We remember what happened
there. That's true, yeah.
Dan, what's your view on England overall and this game?
Overall, I agree with you. I think they've done what you'd expect so far. I was a bit more hopeful, I think, before the start of the tournament. I would mention that. But yeah, I thought Tunisia... a comfortable win, although they only just nicked it in the end, and Panama, I expected them to get a big win.
I don't think they played very well against Panama.
Nor did Southgate.
Didn't.
Southgate said they were better. I thought they were better against Tunisia.
I don't know. I thought for... Panama were terrible, but some of the football against Panama, I mean, the Lingard goal was a superb goal.
But beyond that, what have they actually done? They didn't put any passing moves together. Once they got far ahead, everyone, even Loftus-Cheek, who was very disappointed for me, I absolutely love the guy, he was just looking to play it back to that back three. I just thought it was sterile and poor, to be honest.
I just think the job's done in the first half, really, and the second half is always going to be that way. I think maybe they've even already at that stage got an eye on thinking, we need to keep the draw as an option here, depending on what happens. I think what happens with the other groups is massive. You could end up having to play Colombia and Brazil to get into the semi-finals, or you could end up having to play Japan and Switzerland, to get into the semis. Now, that's huge. And you wonder about whether a tactical draw here, and there could even be players getting yellow cards. You know, a little shirt tuck here. England have got...
A shirt tuck's not going to get you a yellow card.
Well,
in this,
no,
mate.
No. You might have to be a bit more obvious. But, you know, if you're savvy and that's the way it's panned out and the game's nil-nil and, you know, the bookings, you might be another angle to look at, you know, in those circumstances. But I think I agree with Mark. I think England have got this more kind... They're a bit more honest, I think, and less savvy, if you like, than Belgium. I think they'll probably play it that way, whatever happens. And for that reason, and that Belgium, I don't think their depth is that great. You take Hazard, Kevin De Bruyne, Lukaku out, and their defence. I'm not sure they've got great depth at the back as well. I think England, you could argue, have got better depth in some areas. So,
I'm not having that at all. Well, yeah, where, Dan? Come on.
I look at Boyata's in their side. You've got Vermaelen coming into the side. You've got Chadli could cut start. I mean, are you saying these players are going to get in a second England 11? I'm not so sure.
Yeah, right?
I think, I don't know. Chadli? No. I disagree. And I think Belgium have been, in terms of their depth, that's one of the most lazy statements that people make. I think they've got a very good first 11. You dig a little bit beyond it, it isn't as deep as a lot of people
say.
Yeah,
but my point is not about that. It's more about that England don't have a great first 11
I agree that England's depth isn't wonderful, but in comparison to Belgium, which is this fixture, I think it compares okay. So I would say England now. I'd edge towards an England win.
I'm going to have to buy Dan a cake afterwards. I think he's a bit pissed off with that. Mark, we can wheel out our porridge analogy again, won't we? We'll have to watch that game. That episode, one day, where it was the boxing match when they both want to lose.
Yeah, they're both trying to lose. I mean, what I would say is I'm not sure that professional sort of footballers look at it the same way that punters do. They don't. Maybe there's someone in the backroom starter, but you see it all the time in like playoffs in England where you're better off playing against one team and trying to work, but they never do.
No, they don't. They're just born to win.
Yeah, they are, yeah.
They're born to win. Emmett, what do you think should happen tactically and what will happen?
I think what should happen is that both teams try to lose, but like the lads say, I'd be much more confident in England giving a fair running. And I do agree with Dan. I think England definitely have better reserves, especially up front. I think Jamie Vardy is an excellent sub for Harry Kane. I don't think there's that much difference between Rashford and Raheem Sterling. Dele Alli could come back in with a point to prove. And I just think there's the vibe around England would be that they're definitely going to go for the win here. And I think they're a fairly decent price. I'd definitely back England. If drawn about 10-11 seems good to me.
Okay, I think you're very unfair on Rashford, saying there's no difference between him and Sterling. Based on what we've seen so far, there's not much difference between me and Sterling. Absolutely pathetic. He really has. Okay, lads, thank you very much. That was fantastic. Let's get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
Beautifully sung, Steve, and a very happy 40th birthday to you for Tuesday. Right then, Mark, 16 games to choose from. What's your best bet?
It's in a game where they don't need to win, but I'm going for France to do just that. I think the depth of their squad, we've been arguing about the depth of Belgium and England. I mean, France are better than both of them by a considerable distance.
They're fourth teams.
Yeah, I mean, their B team would go very well in the World Cup, and I think they'll beat them, Mark.
Okay, I'm going to go Iran and the draw, double chance against Portugal on Monday. Dan Childs?
I was going to go with France, but I'll give you another one, my next best one, Colombia. I was so impressed with against Poland. I think they'll be too strong for Senegal.
And Emmett?
I think I like England drawn about a 10-11.
Okay, excellent. Thank you very much, chaps. We will be back for another World Cup postcast on Friday to look ahead to the first round of knockout stage games. Cannot wait for that. And we'll give you all the reaction to the games we've just talked about. And of course, we'll be with you throughout the rest of the World Cup for the best reaction and betting tips. Don't forget, if you enjoy the shows, please do make sure you leave some nice comments and rate, review and subscribe on YouTube, SoundCloud and iTunes. Thank you very much indeed, chaps. Join us on Friday.
We're going money back mad this World Cup at Paddy Power. This week it's money back if Messi scores against Nigeria, money back if Neymar scores against Serbia, and money back if England beat Belgium. On all losing, goal scorer, what odds Paddy and correct score bets. Max free bet £10, T's and C's apply, 18+, begambleaware.org.